Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Hold up your Bible. Let's make our confession of faith. Say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same. In Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Amen. Give God your best shout today, everybody. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, my mother, who's in heaven, she loved to cook. And she cooked 3 meals a day. And growing up, boy, did she spoil me. Amen. She spoiled all of us. And, you know, we couldn't wait till after church on Sunday because she put everything in the oven before we go to church and we could smell it. You know, couldn't wait to get home to have the roast and the carrots and the potatoes and the gravy and the homemade. Man, I'm ready right now. Amen. And you know, I want to bring out a principle is that she spent a lot of time in preparation to prepare that meal. And what did that say? She cared about her family. She loved her family. Preparation reveals really how much you really care for somebody. And I just want you to know, our team, we care about you. Me, our family, we love you. We prepare all week long. It may look like it's an hour and 10-minute production, but it takes all week for all of these things to come together that we work so hard for. And why would we do that? Because we love you and we like you as well. Amen. So we just want you to know that. Now, today, outside again, there's a free root beer float truck out there for all the dads to say, we love you. We purchased all new games for you and your kids to have games outside. There's photo stops. There's a food truck. There's a barbecue. There's lots of stuff going on today. Why? Because we need one another. We need the fellowship. We need the relationship. Because the most important thing in life is not stuff. It's relationships, right? Amen. Let's get into the Word today. We're in a series on how to overcome loneliness. How to overcome loneliness. I want you to follow along with me with your Bible. I believe I can help you today. I would not waste your time. I would not just try to fill up your time. I'm here to give you revelation from God's Word that will help you help others overcome loneliness. I gave you last week, Psychology Today said right now the most devastating emotion is loneliness. Now, I realize we're all breaking loose and breaking out and going on vacation and road trips. I get it. But yet you can be on a road trip today, and we have people right now online watching. I heard some of your comments. You're in Washington State. You're in Texas. You're in California. You're traveling. You're in Arizona, and you're going to Church on the Rock. You're taking us with us. God bless you. Thank you so much. But, you know, you can be on a road trip and still lonely. You can be on a beach and still lonely. You can be in a national park today and still lonely. Because loneliness and being alone is two different things. You can be alone and not lonely, but yet you can be in a crowd and feel loneliness, right? How does that happen, Pastor? Because the definition from the Bible on loneliness is an inward feeling of emptiness. Isn't it amazing how we all try in our lives to fill up that void of loneliness? And so loneliness is an inside job. In other words, the cure for it will only come from healing, mending, restoring, fixing us on the inside. It won't come from outward events, but it will come from an inward transformation. So that's what we're looking at today. And so let's go to the Word of God. I'm going to go to the screen. And Psalm 142, verse 3. Y'all ready? When I was desperate, overwhelmed, and about to give up, So many people are there right now. When I was desperate, when I was overwhelmed, when I wanted to give up, you, God, were the only one there to help me. Whoa. So what do we learn from that? God's the answer. If you don't have a relationship with him today, run to him. You say, Pastor, would God forgive me? Yes. Does God love me? Yes. Is God mad at me? No. He's the answer. He's the truth. He's the light. And he's the way. Amen? So the answer is then intimacy with God. The answer is not religion, but the answer is intimacy with God. It's a relationship with God. He's the only one that can fill that sense of emptiness. So when I was desperate, we can relate, overwhelmed, wanted to give up, God, you were the only one there that could help me. You gave me a way of escape from the hidden traps of my enemy. Aren't you glad in the Word it promises us for whatever temptation you're in today, whatever trial you're in today, God always has a way of escape. God always has a way of escape. Now, the devil will come and sit on our shoulder. He'll lie to us and say, there's no way out of this. It's all over. This is the end. You have no options. Well, if he's a liar and the father of lies, when he tells you have no options, it's proof you do. When he tells you that it is the end, it's proof that it isn't. When he tells you it's all over, it's proof that it's not. Amen, somebody? Everyone say, a way of escape. You see, God's got a way when the medical, when doctors don't have a way, when lawyers don't have a way, when psychiatrists don't have a way, when you and I don't know of a way, God always has a way. He's the way maker. Y'all remember that song, Waymaker? Wow, you're old. Praise the Lord. Verse 4, I looked to my left, I looked to my right to see if there's anybody there to help me, but there was no one. You know, really, sometimes, God removes relationships in our life, so we'll run to him. And you know, I think a lot of us did that during COVID, don't you? I think a lot of us, you know, we couldn't go to the movies or the restaurants. We couldn't go to the sports events. We couldn't be with our friends like we used to be. And so what did we do? Well, I hope most of us, we ran to God. We ran to God. I looked to my left and looked to my right to see if there's anybody there to help me, but there was no one who would even notice me. I have no hope in the natural of escape, and I feel like this is loneliness. When you feel like there's no hope, there's no way out, it's over, it's not going to get better, it's only going to get worse. And when you feel like that nobody cares for you, remember I gave you these definitions, and when you feel like from the Oxford Dictionary, when you feel unnoticed, when you feel unwanted, when you feel unneeded, when you feel like no one cares if you live or die, that you're insignificant, that you're just a number, that you don't matter. Well, I want you to know, as your pastor who loves you, you matter in this community. Thank you for two amens. You matter in this community. Amen. Look at our preparation that should show you. Pastor, I'm new to this church. How do I know if you love me? The Bible says your pastor shows you he loves you if he feeds you the Word of God. That's how he shows you he loves you. That's in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, chapter 20. And I sure do love you. I looked to the left, I looked to the right to see if anybody was there, and there was nobody there. They didn't even notice me. They forgot about me. I feel like I have no way out, no way of escape, suicidal thoughts. No one cares whether I live or die. Do you remember I gave you the statement? And the statement was this, is that loneliness will breed destructive habits. Loneliness will breed depression, oppression, addiction, pornography, alcoholism, self-destructive habits. Loneliness, if not held in check, if not fixed, if not healed, if not restored, if I don't get an answer, it's going to lead me down the wrong way, down the wrong path. But the good news is, at Church on the Rock, because of your generosity, we've been sending out the message all month on how to overcome loneliness. Now, y'all praying, preview of coming attractions. You know, when you go, and we will be going back to the movie theaters in Jesus' name. When you do go to the movies, remember they give you that preview of coming attractions? Well, next month, our series is Unwavering Faith. unwavering faith. How to develop a faith that won't waver. And that's all the month of July. So y'all pray for me, amen, that we get revelation. Okay, so this is our foundational text in Psalm 142. To overcome loneliness, three things. I like it simple. They tell you that the more profound it is, you need to make it simple. So three things. And really, I've been in the ministry for a long time. I've counseled hundreds of people and many hours of studying God's word. And I got a long way to go. I'm not even close to where God wants me to be. But yet, I've come to this conclusion. This is the answer. These three things. If you write them down, meditate on them, spend the rest of your life, it'll help you and me when we feel lonely. And there are times we all feel lonely. And it'll help us help other people when they feel lonely. And here they are. To overcome loneliness, I need, number one, a plan to live for. I need a plan to live for. Aren't you glad that you go to church, a church on the rock, here and around the world, this is your church, that after 38 years, we still have a vision. We're still growing. We're still expanding. We're still doing new things. We're still enlarging our borders. That we're not living in the past. That we know God has a vision. Oh, God has a plan. God has a future. Notice you can't go forward looking in the rearview mirror. So stop living in the past. God's got a plan for you to live for. When you realize that, that will help you overcome loneliness. You got a plan to live for. Now, that's not our subject today. Number two, a people to live with. I've told you over and over again, because I want to identify. I want to relate. I want you to know that we're all in this together. During COVID, those last 18 months, if it hadn't been for the relationships in your pastor's life, I would have retired. I would have quit. I mean, I've never done this before. Lead a church during isolation when you can't meet. Lead a mega church together with all the obligations when you can't meet. I'd never done that before in my life. I had no mentor, no pattern, no one to look to. And in the natural, you know, I thought, man, you know, I feel like just giving up and quitting. This is all new. Maybe somebody else can do it better than me. If it hadn't been for the people, if it hadn't been for the relationships in my life, wow. So when you got a people to live with, it helps you overcome loneliness. That's why our small groups are so important. That's why we have them going on during the summer. That's why yesterday we had small groups meeting in our gymnasium playing basketball. Yesterday we had small groups having picnics in our new park in the North Campus. Yesterday, all during the day, there were different small groups meeting on campus and throughout our community and around the world. So if you have a people to live with and a plan to live for, you can overcome loneliness. And number three, this is where we've landed, a presence to live in. A presence to live in. We are carriers of the atmosphere, right? A presence to live in. In a world that's dark, we've been called to be light, to live a life of contrast. In a world that's negative, we've been called to live positive. In a world full of unbelief, we've been called to believe. In a world full of doubt, we've been called to have faith. The Christian life is a life of contrast. We are not to blend in. We are not to be like the majority. We're to have something on our life that's different. You've been places, I've been places, and the people, the world will say, you've got an aura around you. Well, for you and I, what is that? It's the presence of God. It's the anointing of God, a presence to live in. The Bible says that His anointing will break every yoke. His anointing, which is His presence, will break every yoke. Break every yoke. So here's what we've been talking about the last 2 weeks, last weekend, this weekend. I want to hit on this third point on how to overcome loneliness. I need to practice, let's say it together, practice the presence of God. Practice the presence of God. Why would I want to do that? Because in His presence, there's fullness. Wow, no lack. So whatever I'm lacking today, confidence, direction, clarity, wisdom, joy, happiness, Whatever I'm lacking, I'll find it in His presence. I will find my answers to all my problems in His presence. I will find the answers to all my problems in His presence. Why do we spend all week, the guys putting together a set list, then they practice, like putting the horn parts together, all the parts together, then they have rehearsals. Why do we do all that for just 20 minutes of praise and worship? So that we can practice here and then take it home and live at 724 throughout the week, right? Because 20 minutes is not enough. In His presence is fullness of joy. So in His presence is the path, the Bible says. This is all in the Bible. Psalm 16, it says, in His presence is fullness of joy, but also it says, in His presence you'll find the path or the road or your destiny or God's dream or God's predestination for your life. You won't find it on social media, but you'll find it in His presence. Oh, I love that. Why do I want to live in His presence? Because in His presence, another scripture says, all of your enemies melt. Isn't it amazing when you get in the presence of God, things change? Nothing really out here changes immediately, but things change in your head, your emotions, your thought life, your perspective. It changes. It's like going up on a mountaintop and having a different perspective looking down on the things below. When you get in His presence, you get a different perspective. You get a different perspective. And all of your enemies, fear, anxiety, insomnia, addictions, habits, negativity, all these enemies, they melt like wax in His presence. In His presence, we become better fathers. In His presence, we become better mothers, sons and daughters. In His presence, we become better couples. Family that prays together stays together. Amen. I remember years ago, I was counseling a couple. They're no longer in our church. In fact, they moved to Branson, okay, and retired. But a couple in our church, and they'd been married for a long time, and this was before this building was ever built. So everybody say, long time ago. Okay, they came in to see me. That's when I was doing most of the counseling. And they came in to see me over there in my office across the street. And when they came in, one sat at that end of the sofa, and one sat at this end of the sofa. Now, they'd been married for about 15 years, and they were at opposite ends of the sofa. What was that body language telling me? I was in for a long counseling session. Amen? And one time wasn't going to help it. So what I did was, you know, I listened to her. Ladies first. I listened to her, let her talk, and she let it all hang out, okay? And then I let him talk, and then he just, you know, let it all hang out. Now, no one would take ownership. It was each other's fault. I get it. We've been there. Got the T-shirt, right? So I'm listening to them, and here's what I said. I said, you know, guys, we got a long way to go. You didn't get here overnight. It took you 15 years plus to get here. I said, here's what let's do. Let's start right this. If I can get you just to pray together for just a few minutes every day, I mean, just 2 or 3 minutes, if you can just stand each other long enough to pray together for 2 or 3 minutes, just say, well, what are we going to pray about? Well, what you can agree on? Well, we can't agree on anything. Well, just agree that you disagree. I'm speeding it up. Long story short, you know what happened? They started doing that, and guess what? They came in to see me the next time. They said a little closer. Next time, they said a little closer. Next time, they said a little closer. Next time, bless God, she was almost sitting on his lap. What happened? A family that prays together stays together. So get in his presence. All right, so I want to know then, Pastor Blunt, how do I get in his presence? Where can I go from your spirit? How do I recognize his presence? How do I tune into his presence? How do I receive his presence? The takeaways, okay? Psalm 27, verse 4. Let's look at the scripture. If I want to live in his presence and it will cure what ails me, feeling lonely, no one notices me. I just blend in. Nobody cares. People make fun. People make light of my hurts and my pain. What do I do? A plan to live for, a people to live with, and a presence to live in. In Psalm 27:4, one thing, everybody say one thing. There's a great business book out there called One Thing. It's called The Power of Focus. We weren't made to be multitaskers. We weren't made to be multitaskers. One thing have I asked of the Lord. What is the one thing you want, David? David, you're a warrior. David, you're a king. You're a songwriter. What's the most important thing in your life, David, that I would seek, inquire, and require that I could dwell in the house of the Lord in his presence? What was priority for King David, the warrior, the king, to be in God's presence every day? If you and I want to be a king, what? Well, can I say it this way? Reign in life as a king. I'm new to all this. What's that? That's a scripture in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 17. It says we are to rule and reign in life as kings. What does that mean? Walk in the authority of the believer. Walk in the authority of the believer. Walk in the authority of the believer. What you bind is bound. What you loose is loosed. In the name of Jesus, it has to go. The authority of the believer. You're to reign as a king. How does a king reign? They make decrees. They make affirmation. They make confessions. They make declaration. So here's a king, King David. As a king, and you're king's kids if you're born again, as a king, the number one thing you want is not to know who emailed you last night, is not to know the latest on social media, the latest trends in our culture. What you and I must have as priority, if we're going to overcome loneliness, is to get in God's presence every day. And for most people, they don't even care about that. But for you and I, we're not most people. Christianity is a life of contrast. We are to be different than the world. We're to be opposite than the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. We're not to act like them, talk like them, walk like them, or respond like them. So he says, the presence all the days of my life. So Sunday's not enough. All the days of my life to behold and gaze upon the beauty or the character of the Lord, to meditate, consider, and inquire in his temple. Am I helping anybody today? Verse 8, you have said, seek my face. So God, can you help me? And God's answer is, seek me. God, I need help today. God's answer is, seek me and you'll find me. In my presence is the answer to all your problems. You have said, seek my face. Inquire and require what? My presence. As your number one need. You know, priorities are so important to get rid of confusion in our life. To get rid of confusion, you have to prioritize your life. I have to get my life in order to get the disorder out of my life. My presence is your number one need. My heart says to you, your face, your presence, Lord, will I seek. I will inquire for it. I will require it as my number one necessity, based on the authority of your word. Powerful. I get into his presence. Letter A, how do you do that, Pastor? By meditating on his character. I get into his presence by looking at the beauty of his holiness. You remember we just read that? That's a reference to the character of God. I get into his presence by taking time, Selah. You see that in the book of Psalms. It means stop and think and consider. We need to stop throughout the day and look at the size of God. We need to stop throughout the day and look at the size of our God. Meditating on God's character will get you into God's presence. Most Christians don't know that. Meditating on God's character, God is good. God is kind. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's almighty. He's forgiving. He's caring. He's all-powerful. Looking at his character, he's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's Jehovah Nissi. He's Jehovah Tiskenu. He's Jehovah Roi. He's Jehovah Rapha. When you begin to meditate on his character, it gets you into the presence of an almighty God. And in his presence, his power is released. Oh, I like that. His power is released. How do I get into his presence? I rejoice in him even when I don't feel like it. I rejoice in him even when I don't feel like it. I taught you last weekend, you have to know how to trigger the spiritual by doing things in the natural. You trigger the spiritual by doing things in the natural. I don't understand it. You come to church, you go to church, you go to small group. During worship time, you don't feel like being there. You don't feel like raising your hands, but you do it anyway. You don't feel like singing, but you do it anyway. You don't feel like looking at the scripture and following pastor, but you do it anyway. You're triggering things in the natural that will release things in the supernatural. Rejoice in him. It's like a light switch. You go over and turn the light switch on. The lights are off. You flip that switch and the lights come on. Rejoice in him even when you, anybody can rejoice when they feel like it. It takes no faith to rejoice when you feel like it. It does take discipline and sacrifice to rejoice in the Lord when you don't feel like it. See, you develop a world-class praise life. You develop, how do I get into his presence? Through a world-class praise life. I don't want a mediocre praise life, neither do you. I don't want an average churchgoer praise life, neither do you. We want to develop. It's a skill. Praise is a skill. Praise is acknowledging God's goodness and God's greatness. Praise is acknowledging God's goodness and God's greatness. When I pray, I get into his presence. When I praise him, he gets into my presence. I hope you're with me. When we pray, we get into the presence of God. When we praise him, two different animals, he gets into our presence. He changes our bedroom, our living room, our office, our kitchen, our car. The environment and the atmosphere changes when we praise him. Developing a world-class praise life. Praise is acknowledging his greatness and his goodness. Have you done that today before church? Praise is taking time. When we praise him, it releases his presence in our life. Following his presence is his power in our life. And his power is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ever ask, think, dream, or envision. So there are three ways that we can get into his presence. Looking at his character, meditating on his character, developing a world-class praise life. And you do that until your last day on the planet because you're preparing for heaven. We don't want to be in kindergarten in our praise life in heaven. Amen. And then you develop a life of rejoicing. Your choice is to rejoice. The world's getting drunk and high, suicide, addictive behaviors, destroying their families. The Christian life is to be a life of contrast, not a life of conformity. It's to be a life of contrast, not a life of conformity. We don't give in. We don't become like the world. We are salt. We are light. We are city on a hill. Amen? So Psalm 22, verse 3. You are holy, O thou God, that inhabits the praises of Israel. Notice that God inhabits your praises. What does that mean? I don't understand that, Pastor. This is all new to me. So when you and I praise him, he inhabits your praises. What does that mean? It means that actually he comes into your life. He sets up a throne in your heart, and he begins to rule and reign in your life. He begins to change things. He begins to adjust, correct, work behind the scenes. In other words, God begins to act. God begins to move. God begins to decree and declare, and God begins to make things happen in your life that he has willed to happen in your life. I love that. God begins to make things happen in your life that God has willed to happen in your life. So he inhabits the praises of the people of Church on the Rock. Psalm 8, verse 2. Y'all still with me? I want to get the guys out there through the root beer float. Amen. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings have you ordained strength. Circle, mark, highlight the word strength. It's the word praise. It's the word praise. Check it out. If I'm lying, I'm frying. You have ordained praise. Why, God? Because of your enemies. What's going to happen when I praise you? God, you're going to set up a throne. You're going to rule and reign in my life. You're going to cause to happen what you want to happen, and you're going to stop the enemy and the avenger. Praise paralyzes the devil's strategies. Praise disrupts the devil's strategies. Praise stops the devil in his tracks over your health, over your marriage, over your money, over your future, over your job, over your career, over your mind. Praise has been ordained and created to help you stop, paralyze, and defeat the devil. Oh, I like that. So there's always something we can do. Amen? We can praise him. A spirit of thankfulness. How do I, as Isaiah comes out, how do I get in his presence? Well, I get in his presence by meditating on the character of God. You haven't forgot that one yet, have you? Then number two, I do it by creating that I'm going to have a spirit of rejoicing. A merry heart does better than medication, right? A merry heart works like a medicine. I'd a lot rather have a merry heart, a happy heart, rejoicing heart than have to be on medication the rest of my life, right? That's why, isn't it great you can come to church and laugh? Three of you are excited about that. Okay. We're going to have to work harder, Neil, on that. Praise the Lord. All right? So rejoicing in the Lord when you don't feel like it. You get up and you do it when you don't feel like it. I'm here today because my dad took us to church when he didn't feel like it. That I saw my dad pray when he didn't feel like it. That I saw my dad read the Bible when he didn't feel like it. I'm here today because my dad did things he didn't feel like doing, and he did them. All right? And then we said develop a world-class praise life. We work on that until Jesus comes back. And then number four, a spirit of thankfulness will get you into the presence of God. A spirit of thankfulness. And have I told you lately? I sure do love y'all. Romans chapter 1, what will a spirit of thankfulness do? It'll get you into the presence of God. You enter his courts with praise and thanksgiving, right? The Living Bible says great praise and great thanksgiving. Because that when you knew God, you glorified him not as God. You weren't thankful. You were not thankful. Look at that verse. You knew God, but you weren't thankful for God. And you became vain or empty. What's loneliness? Emptiness. You became empty in your imaginations. No longer dreaming. No longer getting revelation from the Word. Well, I go to church now. I get diddly squat. Don't say that. Because only people with unthankful heart get diddly squat from going to church on the rock. Because they knew God, but they didn't glorify him as God, and they weren't thankful, and they became empty in their imaginations. No longer were they dreaming in their imaginations. No longer were they getting revelation from God's Word. And their foolish heart was what? Darkened. Couldn't get light. Couldn't get revelation. Couldn't get anything from the Word of God. Why? Unthankful. But I'm looking at a group of thankful people because I saw y'all worship the Lord today. Amen. We are a thankful people at Church on the Rock. Did y'all get something today? Come on, let's give God the praise for his word. Hallelujah. For his word. Amen. Would you bow your heads real quickly and close your eyes? And everybody online, small groups, traveling, vacation, right here, we're going to pray. And right now, I just want to ask you, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed and Christians are praying, have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? Is God your heavenly Father? Are you in the family of God? Are you all alone by yourself? Feel like no one cares. No one notices you. No one's interested. No one cares about your emotions, your feelings. I want you to know God cares. God sent his son to die for you and me. God cares about you today. God's reaching out his hand today. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming back very soon. Are you ready for his return? I don't say that to scare you. I say that to don't waste your life. For whatever time we have left, let's maximize it. Let's seize the opportunity. Let's make a difference with our life. Let's lead our families. Let's lead our church, our community. Let's make a difference in our city, our nation, our state. So you'd say, Pastor, I don't know God. I don't have a relationship with God. Or Pastor, it's a strange, I'm away from God. Then please pray this prayer with us. Let's all say it together. Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me and He rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now. Take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can look up. Let's celebrate with heaven. People are making decisions right now.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.